Hello, my friends. D.L. Anderson here. Welcome back to Transformation by Truth podcast as we share the truth concerning these last days and what you must do to save yourself from the violent times that are just ahead. Today's podcast is a word of truth accounting of the end times. The end is coming. The end is near. Today's podcast is entitled End Times 264, The Law We Are to Keep, Part 4. The podcast objectives are analyze the suspension of the judicial law in these last days, analyze the great dilemma of the law, analyze how the offering of Yahushua Messiah leads to our perfection, analyze how Yahushua Messiah makes intercession on our behalf, and analyze the fate of those who sin willfully. This lesson contains timelines and other visuals. Therefore, if you are listening to the podcast, I advise you to watch the video version on our website or YouTube, or request a PDF of the lesson so you can add the visual effect. He has removed the penalty of death. Now, we concluded the most recent podcast by analyzing the second of the three primary elements of the law of Moses that we are to keep in these last days. That is the ceremonial law. For your reference, the first element we reviewed is the moral law. This brings us to the judicial law, the third and final element of the law of Moses that is included in the Torah of freedom. These are the elements of the law that have persisted. These we must guard if we are to obtain the seal of Elohim. Content-wise, the judicial law is the law of justice. It focuses on those precepts that were instituted to maintain justice between men and women. Along these lines, the judicial law carries a death penalty in those cases of severe and unusual crimes. Alas, not every transgression of the Mosaic law could be atoned for. Some transgressions were met with death. For an example, in Numbers 15, 32 through 36, we find a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. It wasn't the most strenuous type of work, but it was work nonetheless. And it was unlawful for him to do so on the Shabbat. For that reason, when Moshe consulted Yahuwah Elohim, he said, "The man shall certainly be put to death, all the congregation stoning him with stones outside the camp." And Moshe did as Yahuwah commanded. All the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died for breaking the Shabbat, but ultimately because he failed to guard the Father's command. Now, although the immediate death of the one breaking the Sabbath day was the will of Elohim in times past, allow me to be very clear. Immediate death is not his will in the time present. Here is why. Yahushua Messiah has suspended the judicial law. By his sacrificial death, he has removed the penalty of death from all who follow his example of perfection by adhering to the Torah of freedom. Hebrews 9:11-28 reads, "But Messiah, having become a high priest of the coming good matters, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, entered into the most set apart place once for all, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the defiled, sets apart for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Messiah, who through the everlasting Spirit offered himself without spot to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And because of this, he is the mediator of a renewed covenant, so that death having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called might receive the promise of the everlasting inheritance. For where a covenant is, it is necessary for the death of the covenanted one to be established. For a covenant over those dead is firm, since it is never valid while the covenanted one is living. Therefore, not even the first covenant was instituted without blood. For when, according to the law, every command had been spoken by Moshe to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which Elohim commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels of the service. And according to the law, almost all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary, then, that the copies of the heavenly ones should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly ones themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Messiah has not entered into a set apart place made by hand, figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Elohim on our behalf. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the set apart place year by year with blood not his own. For if so, he would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the offering of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time apart from sin to those waiting for him unto salvation. The great dilemma of the law. My dear friends, now we are getting someplace. To wit, we are closing in on the completion of these matters concerning the law we are to keep in these last days. For look, we are on the precipice of the great dilemma as it pertains to the law, that is, sin. Remember, the focus of the law is the exposition of sin. It was given to the former nation to establish a baseline for sin as a counterpoint to the perfection of the Father's will. Notwithstanding, the law did not have the ability to offer permanent atonement for sins. The key word is permanent, which reveals the judicial law, like the moral law and the ceremonial law, would require a spiritual upgrade. Here is why. There will be no sin in the new heaven and the new earth. This includes outstanding debts of sin, to wit, sins that have not been forgiven. Here lies the great dilemma of the law, vis-a-vis, none of the ceremonies of sacrifice provided permanent atonement for sin. This is why they are referred to as copies of the heavenly ones. Here lies the key, namely, a copy is not the same as the original. Even if they look exactly the same, or if they are a 99.9% match, there will always be a difference. For there is a uniqueness in every aspect of the creation, and assimilation is not equated to equality. Along these lines, the scriptures employ the descriptors, types, and shadow to describe the relationship between the copy, which is illustrated in the earth, and the original, which is demonstrated in the heavens. Now, here's the thing to note. The types and shadows do not carry the same spiritual weight, value, and effect as the original. Explicitly, the types and shadows illustrated within the judicial law could not achieve perfection, for the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Hebrews 10:1-4 reads, "For the law, having a shadow of the good matters to come, and not the image itself of the matters, was never able to make perfect those who draw near with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because those who served, once cleansed, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those offerings is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Decisively, this passage confirms the limitation of the copy, which, in the case of the law of Moses, is infinitely devastating to our eternal future. It is for the following reason, which I would sincerely encourage you to bookmark and never forget. As the law of Moses provides no adequate atonement for sins, there is no path to perfection within the law. And perfection, as we have proven, is the door that leads to everlasting life. My dear friends, Hebrews 10:1 clearly reveals the law, having a shadow of the good matters to come, and not the image itself of the matters, was never able to make perfect those who draw near with the same sacrifices. Here again, this speaks to the limitation of the copy, which is why these sacrifices were made year after year. For although the copy of the law could not achieve perfection, Yahuwah Elohim provided a mechanism of temporary atonement within the law. By this model of temporary atonement, man was able to achieve a model of perfection, i.e. completeness, within the institution of the law. And yet, this model, within and of itself, still could not bring us into everlasting life. Lo, this is why Shaul reveals how those who were of the faith of Abraham and believed in the seed of promise, that is, Yahushua Messiah, were being guarded under the law. For the law, as a copy of the heavenly and not the original, could not bring us into everlasting life. And this, my friends, is the great dilemma of the law. With one offering, he has perfected all. Now, the question of the hour is, if the law is the copy, then what is the original? The answer is found in Shaul's discourse, that is, the heavens. Hebrews 9:23-24 reveals, it was necessary then that the copies of the heavenly ones should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly ones themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Messiah has not entered into a set apart place made by hand, figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Elohim on our behalf. In accordance with these lines, the permanent model of atonement for sins must occur in the heavens. This is why Yahushua Messiah entered the set-apart place in the heavens to make permanent atonement for those who follow his example of perfection. And unlike those priests who served in the order of types and shadows, Yahushua Messiah did not enter the heavens often with sacrifices and offerings. Quite the contrary, Yahushua Messiah, as our faithful high priest, entered the heavens once and for all with one offering by which he has perfected all who have been set apart. Hebrews 10:5-18 reads, therefore, coming into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In ascending offerings and sacrifices for sin, you did not delight. Then I said, see, I come in the volume of the book. It has been written concerning me to do your will, O Elohim. Saying above, sacrifice and meal offering and ascending offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor delighted in, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, see, I come to do your desire, O Elohim. He takes away the first to establish the second. By that desire, we have been set apart through the offering of the body of Yahushua Messiah once for all. And indeed, every priest stands day by day doing service and repeatedly offering the same sacrifices which are never able to take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of Elohim, waiting from that time onward until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being set apart. And the set apart spirit also witnesses to us, for after having said before, this is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, says Yahuwah, giving my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them, and their sins and their lawlessness I shall remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. You are now on trial. Now, this passage clearly reveals how Yahushua Messiah has fulfilled the judicial law and why we are no longer to offer sacrifices in accordance with the law of Moses. It is for the following reason, which I will offer as an entrance point to ensure you remember it going forward. Yahushua Messiah fulfilled the judicial law by offering the only sacrifice that could provide permanent atonement and eternal forgiveness for sins, himself. Not only this, but as he was the perfect sacrifice, he, unlike any of the priests who did service day after day, week after week, year after year, under the law, which is the copy, he was able to enter the heavens and appear before Yahuwah Elohim on our behalf. Not only this, but after he had offered his sacrifice unto Elohim on our behalf, he sat down at the right hand of Elohim, a position of authority where he has upgraded his office. Now, he no longer serves to make an eternal offering for sin unto Elohim. Rather, he stands before the Most High Yahuwah and makes intercession on behalf of the children of the promise. Oh, man. Hebrews 7:23-25 reads, "And indeed, those that became priests were many, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he remains forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who draw near to Elohim through him, ever living to make intercession for them." Now, here's a question. Namely, what manner of intercession does Yahushua Messiah make for us? In answering this question, we should first consider a definition of intercession. By definition, intercession is the act of praying or entreating on behalf of another, to act in one's defense, to address a representation or suit against anyone having been accused, to negotiate in one's favor, to persuade, to ask urgently. Along these lines, we find Yahushua Messiah as our intercessor, acts in our defense unto justification. Like a defense attorney, he defends us against false accusations, entreating the Father on our behalf in all matters pertaining to our execution of his will. Now, this reality begs the question, what are the false accusations being made against us? The answer, they are accusations made by our enemies in an effort to convince the Father to remove his sovereign protection from us. Here's the next question. Why do our enemies work day and night to convince the Father to remove his protection from us? The answer, because that will allow them to oppress us with death, thievery, and destruction, the same way they oppress those who are of the world. Revelation 12:10 reads, "And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now have come the deliverance and the power and the reign of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers, who accused them before our Elohim day and night, has been thrown down." Now, this line is very powerful, and it should serve as a warning to all of us. And thus, I will offer it as an inflection point that I trust you always remember. Our enemies are watching us day and night, looking for any deviation from the Father's will on our part. And should they witness a deviation, They will make a case with Elohim, accusing us often of sins they have caused and or encouraged us to commit, for that was their sinister intent. That's right, my friends. Every time you are tempted by the enemy to commit an illicit act of sin, be advised. The moment you commit the sin by which you were enticed, a case is made in the heavens. You are now on trial. Needless to say, there is a very simple way to avoid this fate altogether. All you have to do is resist the temptation to deviate from the Father's will. James 4, 7 through 8 reads, "So then, submit yourselves to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse hands, sinners, and cleanse the hearts, you double-minded." If we sin willfully. Now, within this passage lies the answer and the key. Vis-a-vis, to resist the devil, you must submit yourself to Elohim. And to submit yourself to Elohim, you must cleanse your heart, i.e. your intentions, and you must cleanse your hands, i.e. your actions. This is just one of the many reasons why the Torah of perfection is established upon a sinless life, and why you have seen me preaching and teaching against sin from the start of this ministry. It is for the following reason, which I will offer as an interest point. Yahushua Messiah does not make intercession for those who continue in sin. It's a classic non-starter. Now, the key word in this interest point is continue. Here, we are not talking about someone who is in the process of being set apart and perhaps in the early stages of their quest and learning how to overcome their sinful nature. No, sir. We are talking about repeat offenders. We are talking about men and women who consistently give in to sin. We are talking about the spiritual rock who are not resisting sin. Rather, in many cases, they are pursuing sin. And yet, they still call themselves believers. They call themselves Yasharal. They say they are of the restoration. They claim to have been born again. They promote themselves as children of the Most High. Lo, they can call themselves whatever they want, but the truth remains. There is nothing in this life or the life to come that can rescind the law of reaping and sowing. This too is a classic non-starter. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 reads, "Do not be led astray. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Because he who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption from the flesh, but he who sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life from the Spirit." Now, within this passage lies another powerful inflection. My dear friends, you must receive this if you are to understand the great work of intercession Yahushua Messiah performs on our behalf. Consider this. As we know, Yahuwah Elohim is not mocked. Those who sin willfully and continually and then seek forgiveness are, in fact, attempting to mock Elohim. For lo, as they sin willfully, with the full intention of seeking absolution, Their sins do not meet the spiritual standard on forgiveness, for they lack the critical factor of true repentance. Not only this, but in seeking forgiveness for elicited and oft premeditated sins, they are attempting to pull Yahushua Messiah into their sordid charade. That's right, my friends. These evildoers and rebels are calling upon Yahushua Messiah to defend them for sins that cannot be defended. For he alone is our intercessor. He is the only mediator between Elohim and man. Therefore, every time you seek forgiveness, Yahushua Messiah is brought in to defend you. For a case has been made, and he is the only one who can appear before Elohim on your behalf. Now, here is the question I have for all who sin willfully. Do you honestly believe Yahushua Messiah will join you in your travesty? Do you think the only brought forth son of Elohim would mock him to satisfy a spiritual lowlife? Now, if anyone is taking this position, I must tell you, in the spirit of the watchman, this one is spiritually sick in the head. Listen to me. Yahushua Messiah did not give his life as a sacrifice to make intercession on behalf of transgressors and lawbreakers. He did not die for those heartless ones who want all the blessings and benefits of being a disciple and yet are unwilling to pay the price. Now, I will tell you who Yahushua Messiah makes intercession for in the next podcast. For now, I will leave you with these final words of caution, which validate my position that there is no atonement for those who sin willfully and habitually. Hebrews 10, 26 to 27 reads, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearsome anticipation of judgment and a fierce fire which is about to consume the opponents of Elohim." Now, here is the final word. Let everyone who names the name of Messiah turn away from unrighteousness. The importance of this line should be clear to see if you, by the Spirit, can see the truth in this lesson. My dear friends, if Yahushua Messiah does not make intercession for us, we cannot take advantage of his sacrifice. We have no path into everlasting life. And if we sin willfully, he will not intercede for us. It's as simple as that. Therefore, it is incumbent upon each of us to use the powers of the Spirit of Elohim to defeat the work of sin in our lives by laboring day and night to obtain the victory. And if you do seek everlasting life, don't live a life worthy of death. Live a life worthy of eternity. Now, here is what's next. We completed today's podcast, End Times 2:64, The Law We Are to Keep, Part 4. And the next podcast is entitled End Times 2:65, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 1. I will post this podcast on Monday, March 18th, 2024. Until then, my friends, continue to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. Continue to watch. Continue to pray. Continue in fasting. And most of all, continue to be focused. For the end is coming. The end is near.